So today's scriptures are two of my favorite. The scripture from Colossians for me is about how we are to be as Christians in the world and what we are to do. So I ask you to listen closely to those words when we read that scripture. And then the one from John, that is the Gospel of John's Christmas story. It is completely different than any of the other Gospels, but it tells a different story for us in this season of the year. So again, just listen carefully and see if you hear Christmas in the Gospel of John.
First scripture reading today comes from Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17, which can be found in your Bible on page 201. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear one another, and if anyone has complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts, and sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
And now hear these words from the first chapter of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Words of God, people of God, thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Almighty and amazing God, we are ending one year and beginning another. May we feel your presence and your power and your spirit as we transition into a new time and a new beginning. Be with us on this day as we have come to worship together. May the music and the words and prayers touch our hearts and send us out full of your glory. Amen. Whew! We made it! Whoa! Anybody else breathe a sigh of relief? We made it! Through the chaos, through the hustle, through the bustle, through the gift wrapping, through the gift buying, through the parties, through the presents, through the going here and going there, the going there and going here, the going here and going there, the going there and I think I'm tired all over again. Oh, maybe it's time to put away the lights and the Christmas tree and all the symbols of this season. Or maybe not. Maybe Christmas was never meant to be just one day. The Gospel of John tells us a much different Christmas story. There's no magi. There's no angels. There's no shepherds. There's not even an inn in Bethlehem. You see, the writer of this Gospel is not so much interested in the historical facts. They are important. But he wants us to understand what it means to us as people, as a church, that Jesus was born, that Jesus came and lived amongst us. He wants to know, does it make a difference that God eternal became God incarnate? Does that make any difference in your life? For the writer of John, Christmas and the story is not just about Jesus, but it's about Jesus showing us something about God, that through God and through Jesus, we learn more about what it means that Christmas came this year. Just imagine God becoming and living amongst us. One writer said God pitched his tent in our midst. I really like that. But Brian Stofferson, I love what he said. He said, listen to this. The Word was God, and the Word became flesh. The Word was with God, and that Word came and lived amongst us. That Word came as Jesus, who lived and breathed and walked and talked and was right with us each and every day. You see, Jesus, for me, and I think maybe for all of us, Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's love for humanity. The ultimate expression of his love. What else could he do but come to earth as himself? And that by doing that, he's showing us that he loves each and every one of us. Do you know there's over 7 billion people on the earth right now? And they were all created by God, who cherishes everyone. No one needs to be outside the circle of love. Another favorite writer of mine, Craig Safferly, said, Jesus is God's love song, sung into the babel, the chaos, and even the death of our world. God's love song. God speaks to us through the whole life of Jesus, through his birth, through his, as he lived and walked on earth, through his death, through his resurrection. And the writer of John, if you read that whole gospel, says that the Word first came as law to Moses and then came through Jesus' grace and truth, because he wants us to know that both are important. That God, through Moses and God through Jesus, gave us life instructions for us to live by. And they come together for the writer of John in this beautiful Christmas story, which is about light. About the light being born and the light being reborn. We learn about God through Jesus. We learn that God is loving and merciful and forgiving and kind, and that God is a healer and that God is a teacher, because Jesus was all of those things. So we learn about God through Jesus. We learn that God wants to speak to us, and that there is no problem too small or no challenge too great that God cannot help us with it if we will let God. I know I sometimes hear, oh, I can't ask God about that in my prayer. God's got more other important things to worry about. And the thing is, God wants all of us and all of our prayers, no matter how small our worry, or no matter how overwhelming that worry may seem. We learn about God. We also see with Jesus that our lives matter to God. What we do in the world, as Jesus taught the disciples, teaches us, what we do in the world shows us how much God loves us. And God is concerned about how we act in the world, because God wants us to be bearers of that light that was born at Christmas time and reborn at this time of the year again and again and again. You see, when God came and lived amongst us, God also then empowered us with the Holy Spirit to be that bearer of light, to be the one to bring mercy and compassion and love. Because the writer of this Gospel of John, at the very beginning here, I see all the way through that first chapter that if you read this as a Christmas story, it's about a Christmas way of living. And think about what that might mean. To consciously walk through this next year saying, I'm going to have a Christmas way of living. I'm going to look at people differently. I'm going to challenge myself to reach out to those that maybe I'm uncomfortable with. You know, in our Advent study this year, if you were part of it, we learned some of the qualities that we need to have a Christmas life or a Christmas way of living. We learned about the path of peace and justice and fearlessness and faithfulness. And when we put all of that together, when we have a heart of peace, we have a voice that will speak with justice for those who have no voice. When we are fearless in our love for Jesus and in wanting to show that in the world, we become faithful in following the path that Jesus is beckoning us down. And we cannot help but become beacons of that light. We can't help but have our hearts beat with love because we're walking the Christmas path, the path of love. And there is one story that I have heard that more than any other talks to me about this path of love. I want you to listen to these words of the Christmas guest from Helen Steiner Rice. It happened one day near December's end when two neighbors went to visit an old friend. Oh, they found his shop so meager and lame, yet laid merry with 1,000 boughs of green. And Conrad was a-sittin' with his face a-shine when he suddenly stopped as he stitched a twine. And he said, "Oh, friends, at dawn today, when the cock was crowing the night away, the Lord appeared in a dream to me and said, 'Your guest, I'm coming to be.' So I've been busy with feet astir, and I have strewn my shop with branches of fir. The table is set, and the kettle is shined, and over the rafters the holly is twined. So now I'll listen for my Lord to appear, and I'll closely listen so I can hear his footsteps as he nears my place. And I'll open that door and look on his face." So his friends left Conrad alone for a happier day he'd not known, for long since his family had passed away, and Conrad had known many a sad Christmas day. But he knew that with the Lord as his Christmas guest, this Christmas would be his dearest and best. So he listened with only the joy in his heart, and with every sound he would rise with a start to see if it was the Lord at his door, like the vision he'd had hours before. So he ran to the window when he heard a sound. But all he saw on the snow-covered ground was a shabby old beggar whose shoes were torn and all of his clothes were tattered and worn. But Conrad's heart was moved, and he opened his door and said, "Your face, it must be frozen and sore. Come, I have some shoes for you and a coat that I will give you too." So the grateful man went on his way, but Conrad noticed the time of day. What was making his Lord so late, and how much longer would he have to wait? When there was a knock at the door, and he opened it, but it was only a stranger once more. A bent old lady with a shawl of black and a pile of kindling on her back. She asked for a place to rest, but that was reserved for Conrad's great guest. Yet her voice seemed to plead, "Don't send me away. Let me rest a while on Christmas Day." So old Conrad brewed her a steaming cup and told her to sit at the table and sup. And when she left, he was filled with dismay. For those hours of Christmas, they were passing away. And the Lord hadn't come as he said he would, and he thought for sure he'd misunderstood. When in the silence he heard a cry, "Oh, please help me, tell me, where am I?" He opened the door and stood disappointed as twice before. It was only a child who had lost her way, had wandered from her family on Christmas Day. Conrad's heart was heavy and sad, but he knew he should make this little girl glad. So he brought her in and wiped her tears and calmed all of her childish fears and led her back to her home once more. But when he came to his own darkened door, he knew that the Lord was not a-coming today. Those hours of Christmas, they had passed away. So he went to his room and he knelt down and prayed and said, "Dear Lord, what kept you from a-coming to call on me? Your face I so wanted to see." When soft in the silence, a voice he heard, "Lift up your head. I kept my word. 3 times my shadow crossed your floor. 3 times I came to your lonely door. I was the beggar with bruised cold feet. I was the woman you gave something to eat. I was the child lost on the street. 3 times I knocked, and 3 times I came in, and each time I found the warmth of a friend. Oh, of all the gifts, love is the best, and I was honored to be your Christmas guest." You see, Conrad, without knowing it, Conrad was living the path of love. That's what happens when we live a Christmas life, when we follow that path of love, is we don't have to analyze our actions. We don't have to think about it because our heart is so full of kindness and of mercy and of compassion that we do what's in front of us that needs to be done, even if we are waiting for something else that we think should happen, that should be greater. And then sometimes we find out that exactly what we did in that moment was what we were called to do. You see, Conrad had put on everything that Colossians talked about. He'd put on love and mercy. He'd put on Christ. And that, my friends, is the call for us this next year, to put on Christ. Because Christmas is a reminder, the hope and life that come with Christmas, a reminder to us each day to say yes to a Christmas way of living. Amen.